We are very grateful you choose to listen to public radio. We're also grateful for the support the stations receive from you and your fellow listeners every year. Your support keeps these stations going strong, and your contribution right now will help sustain and protect WVXU here in Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky, our WMUB in Richmond and Oxford. Make your tax-deductible gift now while you're thinking about it. The phone number to call is 513-419-7155. You can also contribute online at WVXU.org or WMUB.org. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and many of us feel we need to take control of our finances and do a better job of managing our money, but it can be difficult to sort through the vast amount of financial advice available today from online sites, cable shows, and best-selling authors, and come up with a financial plan that works for our specific situations. Joining us to discuss various approaches to investing and money management and how to create a financial plan to best meet your needs, our Director of Tax Services for SmartFinancials.net, Rebecca Pace, and Chris DeSimio, a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Cincinnati. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Rebecca and Chris, thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure, Mark.
Yeah, we just heard from Harold Pollack his financial advice. It's not that complicated, and everything can fit on an index card, hence the title of the book, The Index Card. And in the past, I've talked to Carl Richards, who wrote the book, The One-Page Financial Plan. Now, do they each have a point, Chris, as far as keeping it simple?
I think, yes. A lot of it can be amazingly simple and should be. In other words, like a good mission statement. You know, Abraham Lincoln was able to take everything that had gone before him and helped shape the direction or the arc of everything that came after by taking a good deal of thought and distilling it into about 270 words on November 19th, 1863 at Gettysburg. So it's just a matter of having the right things on your index card or the right things that go into making a plan simple. So it takes some thought, because if you're going to put 10 things down on an index card, you have to decide which is more important. You have to understand, am I ready to buy a house or not? What am I giving up if I save 10 to 20% in a 401k? And the decisions that you make that lead up to distilling it onto an index card can sometimes take some work on your part. So many times the things that look simple and easy require a good deal of effort.
You still have to think about it.
Thinking is good. I think that's why we're listening to public radio. Thinking is good.
Right. You do have to give it some thought and decide what you're going to do, so you've got that plan with you. You've got it inside you, so that when you're out doing some shopping, you realize that there's a limit here, and this is more important to me than buying this this new fancy pair of shoes or something like that.
Yeah, and you're hitting, I think, the nail right on the head. I was taken to task last time we were on because I referred to making a budget, which I said it again. I shouldn't have.
Oh, dear. It's a good thing Kathleen's not here.
Right, because she referred to it as a spending plan.
Right.
And so if you're...
Because a spending plan sounds like it's more fun than doing a budget.
Exactly, but it's the same thing. But if you are pushing your cart down the aisle at the grocery store and you have a decision to make, it's easy. We cut deals with ourselves all the time. Well, you know, I've been working really hard. I deserve this extra little thing. Or, heck with that, we're going to go out to eat tonight.
Exactly.
Why stay at home? Even though you may have remodeled your kitchen and spent a lot of money on it, let's go out to eat. So it's those little daily, you know, it's mundane things.
Yes.
That over a long period of time mark the difference between success financially and staying up at night worrying.
Yes. A lot of people seem to think this is all so complicated and they just don't want to take the time or they can't be bothered. But if they do set their priorities out, it's going to pay off in the long run. And once they get those things together, they're going to realize it's much simpler than they might have imagined.
Yeah, and part of having, you know, prioritizing, establishing goals and then setting them in a priority is doing it in a quiet place and part of the points, many of the points that Harold was making with you, Mark, earlier, and that Helene makes in the book, are that sometimes we are our own worst enemies, and it's because we're hardwired to be on the lookout for danger or to think that we should be doing something, when in fact, sometimes the best thing to do is to not get distracted. And the financial media, any media, they're good at it. I mean, whether it's we're about to see the Super Bowl next week, and whatever an ad costs on a Super Bowl now, it's a lot of money. I think, was it $5 million or $500,000? I lost a zero. Whatever it is, it's 30 seconds. People don't spend that kind of money to get in front of you unless they think they can influence you.
Exactly.
And the way they influence you is they're very good at it. And so the financial media, the commercial financial media, is very good at making you think that you have to stay tuned. Whether you're watching TV, you have to stay tuned through the commercial. Or if you're looking online, my gosh, there's this thing that says the market's going to go down by 80%. I better click on that. And anytime you point and click on something, that's a measurable little signal that makes money for the person who designed the ad. So you just have to understand all the different ways that you might be influenced and have a basis. But the idea of having something where you've done the effort to put your own index card together is a good one.
You know, Chris, something else that Harold mentioned was that you buy a $4 cup of coffee, you do that 5 days a week, that's $80 a month, $960 a year that you could have put in your retirement plan. So it's true, it is the little things.
They do add up.
Yes, they do. They do. We were talking about all the different things that bombard you from the media. And that happens so much with stocks and investment advice. You think you've got to get out there and do something. Everybody else is doing something. I need to do something. I need to make a move. But that's not always in your best interest.
In fact, there was a gentleman about 25, 30 years ago who was at MIT. His name was Paul Andreessen, spelled the same way as Mark Andreessen, the famous internet maven. And he took two groups of grad students, smart people, and created the same set of rules, gave them fake accounts of money, fictitious money accounts, and then gave half the students access to the traditional media where you do your homework and you just actually read something and make a determination and have to be more deliberate. And then the other group had information to access to print media, but also could watch TV. And at the end of the year, the group that had access to more immediate information, people who are watching TV and getting ideas, did considerably worse because they were bombarded, as you said, with messages that you have to do something. Something's happening. You've got to do something. When, in fact, if you've got your little index card to remind you that maybe you're already doing the right things and don't veer off the plan, that can sometimes be a lot better idea.
It's a daily reactive mode that Harold Pollack was talking about that people get into. Have they ever done any research, Chris, about how much fear influences investors to either act rashly or not, maybe become paralyzed and not react at all?
The behavioral finance people.
Yes, they do.
Yes, tons of it.
Just Google behavioral finance, and it's a deep well.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yeah. I think a key thing I got from this is that you have a plan in the first place. Put it in writing. Make it accessible, something you can always have in front of you to remind you where you're headed. So it sounds like he's saying, a financial plan, whatever it might be, it's for everybody. It's not just for people who are wealthy or have a lot of money. Everybody should have a financial plan. Is that something you would agree with?
You know, those plans don't even have to have dollars and numbers with them so much as they have to have your goals and have you've given some thought to it. You've got your goals. You've got your guidelines. You don't have to calculate the numbers. How much is this is going to be in 20 years? Or you don't have to put all that math into it if you're not a math person.
What you do have to do, though, and it's one of the points made in the index card, is that if you commit to paying yourself first and setting money aside first, then all the odds start piling up in your favor. If you keep postponing the very basic building block of financial security, saving money, and a 401k or a 403b or a 501 account, whatever, you know, the apparatus of automatic payroll deduction. If you haven't been access to that, do it. But if you don't do it and you keep pushing it off, then you end up like the football team. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know there are Packer fans. There might be Packer fans listening. I admire Aaron Rodgers. But how many times can you try to win the game on the last play? How many times can you actually throw that Hail Mary pass? And if you keep putting off savings, then your own financial security at the end becomes that, oh my gosh, I can't just give the ball to Marshawn Lynch like Pete Carroll wanted to do last year and run it in. I've got to do something a little fancier. And so if you have to throw the high risk play because you haven't done all the work that went into that, then you're not going to be happy. You're less likely to be happy.
Those projections, if you do them or if someone does them for you, they're really motivating because you can see how much behind you're going to be if you don't get started early. You can see how much you're going to have to catch up. But don't feel like you have to be a math wizard to do this.
No.
Rebecca, what did you think of the goal, that number one, that's the number one rule in the book, the index card, the goal of saving 10 to 20% of your money?
Oh, that's absolutely excellent, particularly if you start young. I mean, life happens. You may not always be able to do that, but if you get started off right at the beginning, that money is going to grow. So it's always a goal that you want to keep in front of you.
And doing it, you know, regularly and doing it in the right way.
Yes.
And don't be afraid to learn new things. There are good investments, and then there are ways to own investments. And there are all sorts of things that can sometimes sound gimmicky. For example, perhaps you've heard of the backdoor Roth.
You know, yes. We have people who do that.
Yeah. You know, it might be a new phrase for a lot of people because you can't – some people make too much money to allow themselves to contribute to a Roth. And so at least until someone figures out a way to not – make this legal, there are a lot of people who will make an IRA contribution, a traditional IRA contribution that's non-deductible, and then convert it.
Yes.
Or at least it's not a back door, it's a side door, Roth.
That's where an advisor is really going to help you.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, would you say that goal of saving 10 to 20% of your money, that they made it rule number one? Do you think that's like the starting point for all financial planning? You should have some kind of a saving goal out in front of you. Even if you can't do 10 or 20%, have something and start working in that direction. That's where it all starts. Is that?
Absolutely. If you're not saving money, then you're hoping to inherit, or you're hoping to win the lottery, or you end up like those people. You end up like those people waiting in line out in the snow, you know, shivering, you know, with your hands in your pockets, hoping to be one of the three people who gets a piece of the lotto.
And of course, to save that money, you have to have an income of some kind. So that's an important goal too.
Right. That's right.
That's right.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. And if you've ever taken the time to write out a plan for managing your money, let us know. 513-419-7100 to join the conversation. You can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And of course, how big is the second idea, the rule number two of paying off your credit card balance every month?
Oh boy,
it does seem like the first thing would be save money. Second thing would be get rid of your debt.
Yes, debt is a huge issue in our society today, and you want to stay out of debt if you can possibly avoid it. Some people, of course, you're going to need a mortgage. Good debt, bad debt. Is it? What are you spending that money on? Debt is kind of an evil thing we're dealing with now.
Well, and it can get out of control. And so, for example, here today, it's Friday, January 29th, the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 142 Eastern Time is up 297 points. So there'd be the thought that, oh my gosh, I'm missing something. I need to do this. But that's not guaranteed. It's not guaranteed the market's going to be up 200 points. In fact, many people in the financial services world have been trying to guide our expectations lower. The terms new normal and maybe 5 to 7% is a better number to count on. Then distribution rates from savings plans should be around 3.6 to 4. Trying to guide things lower becomes important. So, without with whether you're doing those numbers saying, okay, I'm going to make 5 or 6%, but if you look at your credit card bill and you say, well, wait a minute, there's risk trying to get 5 or 6%, but I can pay off my credit card bill and not pay 10 or 11 or 12. Not paying 10 is the same thing as making 10.
Yes, it is.
And in fact, if Ben Franklin were alive, he would say, sure, a penny saved is a penny earned. So saving 10% is like earning 10%, only it's better. Because yes, when you save 10%, you don't pay taxes on it.
That's right.
Right.
What's an easy way to cut down that credit card debt, Chris? What are some ways to handle it?
Well, the first thing you do, and Rebecca
can jump in here too.
Sure, Rebecca's a CFP.
Since she's a
CPA, but I mean, CPA, you look at your credit cards and you say, you start with the highest interest rate first, and you commit as part of your savings, just part of your 401k, you're going to save and you're going to pay that credit card debt down and start with the highest rate first and keep doing it every single month.
Yeah, there's debates about to start with the highest rate or the smallest card. If you start with the smallest balance, it disappears fast and it gives you motivation to keep going. But you're really losing more out of pocket in the long run if you don't pay off the high rate balance first.
Yeah.
But Chris, paying off your credit card debt's like making a budget. There's no glamour to it.
It's a spending plan. Well, you know, there's no glamour listening to Wynton Marsalis practice scales, and there's no glamour. There's not as much fun watching Ken Griffey Jr. take batting practice than hit the ball out of the park in a real game. But you know, doing those basic things, it's like batting practice or practicing your scales if you're a musician. It's the same thing, but it's without those basic fundamental things, you're swinging for the fences every time and you're not likely to be successful.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney, and joining us to discuss creating a financial plan to best meet your needs are Director of Tax Services with SmartFinancials.net, Rebecca Pace, and Chris DeSimio, a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Cincinnati. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at WVXU.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And let's talk with Stefan in Cincinnati. Hi, Stefan.
Hey, I'm a longtime listener, love the show. I feel like today's topic is one that you could discuss every day.
Glad to hear it. That makes Chris happy.
Well, you'd be defeating your own purpose, though.
Right. Yeah. So my comment, I was listening to the note cards and how you should, the first steps, but as I was telling, what I would like to say is that I started off saving pretty good for myself when I was a youngster, you know, with the lemonade stands and the raking of the leaves. And then when I got to college, I was one who all my friends were getting all these funky credit cards with, you know, 3,000% just so they could get some extra money. But I was never one to do it. So I finally finished school about 10, 12 years ago and, you know, come knocking on the door, got a good job. The first person to knock on the door at that time was Sally Mae. Like, hey, it's time to pay us back. So the little savings that I had that I was starting for my life, I started using to pay back my student loans because I need an education, which was the first part, I believe, not Mark, but the gentleman from Wells Fargo said you need the income for sustainability. So I started paying back the student loans, and now that I'm done with that, I feel like I'm at the infancy stage again, being 32, having to save again for the latter part of my life.
But
any suggestions on how I should have done it? Or
well, you got yourself back on track, so. Chris?
All right.
Yeah, you can't rewind that tape anymore, but what you can do is contact your employer and explore the options available to you through payroll deduction, both pre-tax and post-tax. Have your start saving money now. And keep it simple. Don't complicate it, but start using the money. If you have a 401k available to you, do it, especially if there's an employer match. And you'll be shocked at how quickly your account values will begin to appreciate.
Got any advice for
Well, one of the simplest things that I see that taxpayers aren't doing is using their health savings account. So if you open your health savings account, say you put $100 in it, and then any time after that you have a medical expense, you can put money in that account, take a tax deduction for it, turn around, take that money back out and pay off your doctor bill and not pay any tax on that money. An IRA, you put money in and take a deduction up front. When you take it out, it's taxable. A Roth IRA, you put it in and you don't get a deduction. When you take it out, it's not taxable. But with an HSA, it's not taxable when you put it in. It's not taxable when you take it out. And if you're pretty healthy and you're not using the money for your medical expenses, you can build that account up to a point where you can actually invest it. I have mine in some mutual funds.
Hey, Rebecca, who's eligible for an HSA?
To have a health savings account, you have to have what's called a high deductible health insurance plan. You'll have to talk to your insurance agent or your employer to be sure you have the right kind of health insurance for it.
Yeah, many employers are shifting from that traditional model to the HSA, the health savings account, small and large.
Yes.
513-419-7100 to join us. Let's talk with D.C. and Kennedy Heights. Hi.
Hi there. Appreciate taking my call. Just wanted to touch base. I happen to have an HSA, and I just used it today. And I put $50 a month into it, and my employer gives us opportunities throughout the year through wellness checks and other metrics and biometric performance. They'll put in almost $1,000 a year into that every year. But I wanted to touch base, see if I'm on track here. I'm 45, starting over after losing everything in my retirement in 08. I'm currently saving 12% in my 401k, and my employer matches 2% for nothing and then 6% match, so an 8% match at that point. What I'm worried about is getting into a spillover election situation. As my income goes up, I put it up 1% every time I get a raise. And I'm concerned at some point I'm going to hit that spillover where I will need another account or an option to not be taxed on that as I put it in. Any thoughts on that?
Well, on your 401k, depending on your employer and the business, your the whole business, you can max out before you actually hit the highest IRS limits. You can hit what's called the top-heavy rules, and you aren't able to put the full amount into your 401k. Your employer is going to track that and notify you of that. On your health savings account, you can put the maximum into a health savings account. You can use more than one health savings account. You can open one at a local bank and put your own money into it. You'd have to track that ceiling on your own.
Yeah, and also, of course, this year, since you're not 50 yet, you're 45, you can put $18,000 in to a 401k this year. So that's a nice number. Mm-hmm. And Rebecca, you're the CPA here. If someone maxes out their 401k, does that preclude them from contributing to an IRA?
That's depends on their AGI, their adjusted gross income. So that's something else you really need to talk with your tax advisor about, exactly where you fall in those phase-out rules and how much you can put aside. But the health savings account is not subject to those phase-out rules, and you can have income at any level and maximize the contribution to your health savings account.
So the health savings account is deductible. The IRA may or may not be deductible.
Exactly, yes.
Let's go to Bill in Dayton, who joins us now. Hi, Bill.
Hi, thanks very much, and thanks for the topic. I had a very smart father, and he told me everything your guest has been saying for the previous part of the hour, and luckily I listened to it. My wife and I are in our early 60s, semi-retired, already taking Social Security. My question is about our IRAs. When we are forced to take them, even though we won't need them to live on, hopefully, God willing, hopefully we'll need them at that time, but we're forced to take them. Should we just take the minimum that we're forced to take?
I think that's a tax question.
It's a great question.
Yes, it is, Rebecca. It's a great question, too.
There are other rules. There are lots of issues brought up by that.
Yes. Now, with the required minimum distributions that start at age 70 and a half, of course, you do have to take those out. You can direct them to a charity, which might be useful. But before you reach 70 and a half, you may want to start drawing down that IRA. You may want to be converting some of it to a Roth IRA. The problem with the required minimum distribution is that's taxable income, unless it's all going direct to charity. And when you increase your taxable income, you increase the amount of your Social Security that is going to be subject to income tax. So you're getting a double whammy on that taxable income. So it's really wise to be proactive and take a look at this and start drawing out of that account to reduce your required minimum distributions that are going to start later.
Yeah, and it's one of these, it's, you know, six of one, half dozen of another. This year, it's $75,300 is the top number that you can have and still be in the 15% bracket. So if you're adjusted, if your taxable income, your line, still line 43, isn't it, this CPA?
Yes, it is.
That's after your exemptions and deductions and et cetera. So if your income is $50,000, that means you could take $25,000 out and still be in a 15% bracket, pay the lower bracket.
Yes.
But it might make sense to do it in small chunks instead of doing one big
Don't put
chunk.
Yourself over.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Rebecca and Chris, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Very welcome.
Thank you.
Director of Tax Services for SmartFinancialsNet.net, Rebecca Pace, and Chris DeSimeo, a financial advisor with Wells Fargo Advisors in Cincinnati. As a reminder, the information provided on today's show is general in nature and may not apply to your personal investment situation. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition. Archives of our programs are available at WVXU.org. The producer for today's show was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Belinda Kai. Stephen Baum was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Science Friday next on 91.7 WVXU.